Last week, we began with the first week of a four-week series in which we are examining Don Miguel Ruiz's book, The Four Agreements. And the idea behind this book is that as children, we are taught how to behave, what to say, what to think, what's appropriate. And in essence, we are domesticated, which is a nasty sounding word, but the idea that we are essentially trained to be a part of society. And we are taught these behaviors and thoughts and ways of being through a system of essentially rewards and punishments. So if you're a good girl, you get the candy, and if you're a naughty boy, you get sent to your room, and we can all identify with variations of those rewards and punishments. And over time, as children, we grow up, and we start internalizing those messages. And so what was imposed on us becomes something that unwittingly and unknowingly we are actually imposing on ourselves. And these are take the form in this book of creating unconscious agreements that we make about how the world looks and our part in it. And what the premise of the book is that in doing so, we have forgotten who we are. We have suppressed some of our innate, inborn joy and vibrancy and vitality in order to conform so that we can be accepted and rewarded and fed and be part of the community and so on. And as part of that domestication, we suffer because we've forgotten how to be joyful, how to be free. And the invitation is that we then break some of these inborn agreements to make new agreements that will open us to more freedom. And the book suggests four agreements. If we implement the first two, then Don Miguel Ruiz suggests that we will cure 75% of our agreements that we've made with ourselves that we don't know about. And so today we're going to look at number two. So if we get one and two right, we're pretty good. That's like almost the Pareto effect, right? 80% of our suffering comes from 20% of our causes. 80-20 rule is basically what that is. So 75% is getting pretty close. I can live with that if we can make it work. And so the first agreement, which we looked at last week, is be impeccable with your word. And briefly, what that means is don't do anything that goes against yourself. It's not be impeccable with what you say. That is part of it. But it's also be impeccable about who you are and what you create around yourself and what you allow yourself to experience. So that's what we explored last week. And for those who want to review that, it's on YouTube. There's a link on the website. It's worth watching. Really, it's worth watching. Today, we look at the second agreement. Don't take anything personally. Now, I don't know about you, but I find this exceptionally difficult. Have you ever been wandering around, having an absolutely lovely day, and then someone says something, maybe not even to you, but in your hearing, and it just saps the energy and the life right out of you? Ever had that happen? Things are going great until this agreement talks about that. And the whole premise of it is that nothing that anybody does to you, nothing that anybody says to you, nothing that happens to you is about you. Let me say that again. Nothing is about you. When somebody else is upset at you, it's not about you. When a car accident happens, it's not about you. And so, how do we make sense of that? Well, last week I told you a story about a mom and a daughter, and that mom had been working all day and she was tired, and she came home and her five-year-old daughter was having an absolute time of her life, singing and dancing away, and the mother in her irritation told the kid, "Stop singing, you have a horrible voice. I just need some space. I need to be quiet." And the child listened to her mother, not just then, but until she was in her 20s. She believed that message. She was 5. So we expect that a child of 5 years old is going to react in that way, which underscores the importance of us being kind to children and speak upliftingly to children. Because at 5 years old, you don't know any better. And so when mom says you have a horrible voice, you're going to believe it and stop singing and stop wanting to speak and all the other harm that can be done to our self-esteem because of that. But when we're adults, often we end up acting like that five-year-old. And just like that five-year-old bought in to her belief, her mother's message about her not being able to sing. So often, even as adults, somebody says something to us and we buy it. And we agree with it. And it hurts. And so the idea in this message is for us to break the agreement that someone else's opinion needs to be adopted by us. In the book, taking things personally is referred to as personal importance. And Ruiz very bluntly calls this idea of taking things personally, and I quote, "the maximum expression of selfishness." And I end quote. The reason he says it's the maximum expression of selfishness is because we all assume that everything is all about me. And the thing is that each one of us operates like that. And so when someone says something that sounds like a criticism or a complaint or a harsh word that is directed at us, we see it from our point of view, we receive it from our point of view, and then we get upset. Because where we're at some level, what we're hearing is, you don't matter. And we all have a need to matter, because we know in our hearts that we do. We matter. And so when someone else is saying something that feels hurtful to us, the underlying message is, maybe I don't matter. It's scary. And so we react by being hurt, by taking it personally. So one of the things that we want to remember is that we, each one of us, live from our own point of view. And we think that the other person's behavior is a response to us, but what we don't recognize and forget is that where they're coming from is their point of view. And what they're speaking about is a response from their point of view. And none of us see the world the same way. We want to remember that a point of view is a view from a point. And there are 8 billion points of view and climbing on the planet today. Nothing other people do is about you. I find myself resisting that. And I imagine that some of you are feeling the same way. So let's look at two aspects of this. One is when our need to be right means another person is made wrong. And the other is when another person's right, need to be right, is directed as at us, and we are made to feel wrong. And I want to ask you to think of four letters as we do this. A, B, C, and D. The first is to allow for differences of opinion. Allow. The second is to be a funnel, not a sponge. And I'll talk about each of these briefly. The C is to control your own lane, your own response, your own behavior. And the fourth letter, D, is to distinguish between a dialogue and a diatribe. And I hear some giggling. So let's look at this. When our need to be right makes another person wrong, when we're doing this, we are actually taking somebody else's behavior personally, and we're going to make sure that they know what they've done to affect a situation. So now they've done something, we're taking it on. So how can we make it not about us when this happens? When somebody does something that we see as wrong. The first thing I'm going to ask you to do is allow for a difference of opinion and add a period. So this is what I mean. I didn't return somebody's phone call. Or they didn't return a phone call, my phone call, comma. And that means they don't like me, they're disrespectful, they are irresponsible, they are, insert judgment, 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 judgment here. We don't know any of that part. The only part we know is they didn't return a phone call. Anything after that period is a story that I am making up, or the comma is a story that I am making up. And I don't know what's going on. They are, let's say, they are conservative, comma, and that means dot, 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 dot. They are liberal, and that means dot, 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 dot. They are Muslim, and that means dot, dot, dot. They are fundamentalist Christian, and that means. When we add a period after what it is that we can all agree on, then we actually allow for these differences of opinion, because we don't know. And think of, is it a good thing or a bad thing? Sometimes it's just a thing. It's not about me unless I choose to make it about me. And then, be a funnel, not a sponge. Or another way of saying it is, become an observer. So you see this going on. Unless you want to get hooked in and add to drama, just notice. And notice yourself getting upset. And ask yourself the question, does this need to be about me? Try saying, that's interesting. Somebody's saying and spewing something and you're just like, ugh. That's interesting. That's another opinion. A different point of view. And this means that you need to control your own lane, or want to control your own lane. Control your own response. Because it's only when we as individuals hook ourselves in that we add to the drama, that we add to the hell, that we escalate, because then we start making things not just about the other person, but about us and our interaction with the other person, and it just blossoms and blooms in a sometimes not very pleasant way. So control your own response. Stay in your own lane. What if you allowed them to have their opinion? What if you allowed them to have their own behavior? What if I allowed myself to know that what they're doing does not need to define me? This is particularly true of people in spouses and children, where, you know, your kids might be doing something and you're just like, oh, this is going to reflect on me. What are they thinking about me? Or your partner does something and you just want to go and hide your head because somehow you think it's going to be a reflection on you. And so you get in there, try to fix it, try to mend it, and normally that just helps to blow things up even more, because now there's more people involved. To remember that other people have points of view, allow them their points of view. Add the period, this happened, I don't need to be part of it. Be an observer. Don't absorb it. Don't get sucked in. Allow it to pass through. What if I needed to remember or could remember that their behavior is their behavior? I don't need to make it mine. And dialogue and diatribe. It's interesting that they both have this dia, which is two. A dialogue is where we actually talk to each other, and part of talking to each other and talking with each other includes listening. So to distinguish between dialogue and diatribe, remember, dialogue includes some silence on each person's part, where they're actually listening. Diatribe is just another word for rant. And so when we are in a place where we are ranting, where we're the ones doing the ranting, try and remember that there's no listening going on either part. Because what happens when we're in this place of diatribe where we're just letting it all hang out? Well, think about what happens when you're the one on the receiving end. How long does it take you to stop listening, to check out? And what we want to do is talk to each other, to talk with each other, to listen to each other. So when you are in a place where you find yourself ranting, try and remember to dialogue rather than diatribe. And what happens when it's another person yelling at us? Does anybody feel it right here? You ever had that experience where someone has said something and it's either in anger or and loud, or it's mean and it just hits you? Anybody experience that? Do you all know what that feels like? Many of our distressing interactions happen when we don't comply with another person's vision of what we should do. And yet, if we can separate ourselves from the hurt and from that visceral reaction that we have, if we can become an observer, then we might be able to realize that the other person is dealing with their beliefs, with their viewpoint, with their agreements, and they have nothing to do with us. And if it wasn't us standing here taking it on, it would just be a matter of time before it would be someone else standing here taking it on, as long as the other person allowed it. When people are angry and they're unkind, when they're controlling, when they're judgmental, they're simply trying to get rid of their emotional poison. And if we accept it, if we sponge-like accept it, then yes, it helps relieve their poison, what they're experiencing, but we've taken it in. Power and freedom comes from this idea of Teflon, nonstick, funnel, not a sponge. Allow them to have their rant. I don't need to take it on. So allow. Let them have their thing. I'm moving over here. Move out of the way. Be an observer, not an absorber. Be a funnel, not a sponge. Notice what's happening. And don't allow any of that energy to come to you. And that means that you are responsible for you. Control your own lane. Control your response. Control your energy. And that may mean removing yourself for a while. It may mean saying, I see that you're upset. I'm going to leave so that you can deal with that yourself. I'm willing to talk with you when you're ready to talk and have a dialogue. So if you're hearing a diatribe, you're hearing someone rant, ding, ding, ding. You don't need to expose yourself to it. Don't take it personally. What Ruiz says, excuse me, if you do not take it personally, you are immune in the middle of hell. Immunity to poison in the middle of hell is the gift of this agreement. So, when our need to be right, excuse me, it makes another person wrong, and we're the ones delivering the diatribe, we're the ones veering into their lane, we're the ones who are absorbing, when our need to be right is forcing the other person to be wrong because we're not allowing, then let's take a step back. Allow. Add that period. It doesn't have to be about them. Doesn't have to be about us. Be a funnel, not a sponge. Control your own reactivity. And make sure that you are hearing and delivering dialogue. This is true whether we are going out and delivering the message or whether we are the people who are receiving it. Notice how often your suffering begins after the comma. Whether it's giving, and so we need to jump in, or whether it's receiving, they are saying something to us. Not us, it would be someone else. It's only when we think that it is directed to us and we take it on and we accept the poison as ours that we suffer. And so, please, play with this idea of not taking it personally. Play with the idea that anything that is happening to you is not about you. That it is about the other person and the agreements that they made, their life view. And allow different points of view because a point of view is simply a view from a point. Don't take anything personally. It is the road to freedom. I bless you.